Welcome, welcome to all our members, friends, and visitors. Welcome to this Ascension Sunday. It is good to be here together. Together we will worship God and encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin, and I invite you to join along. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I invite us all now to stand for our opening hymn. And if you cannot stand, know that the church stands with and for you.
There's a quick announcement on the hymn. If you look in your hymn book, it has three verse ones. You will be singing the Ascension verse one. When you go to verse 2, there are also three verses of 2. You will sing the Ascension, and then verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 are as written, but you will sing the refrain between each of the verses. Thank you.
Oh,
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and for whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who hear their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Powers and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your only Son was taken into the heavens, and in your presence intercedes for us.
Receive us and our prayers for all the world, and in the end, bring everything into your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Sovereign and our Lord, who lives and remains with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Now we invite the children to come forward for the children's message. That's how I felt this morning.
Then I'll take you back. And we'll skip children's church. It's Waldo, though. It's Waldo.
Have you guys ever seen this book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never.
Where is Waldo? So you've already seen it. I knew it was Oh, you're almost dressed like Waldo, too. This is a fun book. It has a bunch of pictures on it. And what's the point of this book?
Find Waldo.
Where is Waldo? So, for those who don't know where is Waldo, we are given a picture. And Waldo is an individual dressed like this. And somewhere in this picture of the pyramid is Waldo. Can you guys point to where Waldo is? You gotta do it some point today. Oh, there's Waldo. So they found where Waldo is.
Right there.
Right there.
I have these books memorized, so you're not going to count.
Okay. Well, do you want to see the book? Okay, well, here's the question. We found Waldo. Okay, that way it wasn't too hard. Yeah, yes. But now's the big question. You ready for the big question? Where's Christ? Where in this room is Christ right now?
In us.
In us, yes. Where else? In me, yes. Where else?
The whole room.
The whole room, yes. Where else?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, yes, everywhere. And so if you want to know where Waldo is, you got to find him in the picture. But if you want to know where God is in Christ Jesus, where do you live?
Anywhere else.
Anywhere. That's right. And that's where the presence of God is. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being everywhere.
Thank you for being everywhere.
Amen.
Amen.
And I thank you guys get a treat because you get to go down to Sunday school.
Charlie, you like those? Do you want to come?
Yeah. Bye, Charlie.
Thank you.
Be a second before my, after that beautiful double anthem before my throat unclenches. Our first reading today is the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Hear now the word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing the psalm this morning, found on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll begin with the light print. Please respond by singing the bold and the dark print. Psalm 47.
Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a joyful sound.
For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth.
Who subsides the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. The sound of the ram's horn.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song.
God reigns.
peoples have gathered as the people of the God of Abraham. The rulers of the earth belong to God, who is highly exalted.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Hear now the word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, there was this point in that period in history we call the Reformation, when the splits and the conflicts had raised to that point where there were now at least two churches. But then there was more than two, because there were other protesting areas seeking reform. And once that division had become somewhat final, there were some questions with all those other reforming churches. Could they then join and create one unified church? And so they had a bunch of discussions about that. And it turned out, chiefly, a big problem was the understanding of our meal that we have, the great Eucharist. Is Christ truly present there? And up for debate were a number of passages in Scripture. And they are the words that we repeat in the Apostles' Creed that says, He is in the right hand of the Father. And so, the side that, and I'm simplifying this all, but the side that would become the Presbyterians pointed to Luther and said, see, we know the location of where Christ is. He is on the right hand of God, and logically, if Christ is up in heaven on the right hand of God, he can't be in two places at once, and therefore, he is not in the bread and the wine. Well, where is God? I remind you of what the psalmist says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the lights become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For the darkness is as light to you. So if you want to know where God is, look to anything. Which means if you want to know where the right hand of God is, and friends, I invite you, and I invite you all to do this right now. If you want to know where Christ is, look at something right now. And it could be anything or anyone. And then just go to the right hand of that thing. And so what I will do, as I do before communion every day or every Sunday, because of my dyslexia, I have to look away. So if you want to go to the right hand of God, pick any point in your mind's eye, in your physical eye, and go to your left of that spot. So you see, if God is everywhere, just to your left, then obviously, friends, the bread and wine is a point of anything. So just go to God's right, your left, there's Christ. And so in the midst of this debate, a term was coined to make fun of that position. They called Luther the ubiquitarians. Fancy word for ubiquitous, right? We all know what that means. Everywhere, like the surfers yesterday were ubiquitous on the beaches in Newport. The ubiquitarians, they're the ones that thought God was everywhere. Sadly for me, I think, that name didn't stick. It ended up being Lutherans. It should have been, I think, like that term Yankee Doodle Dandy. That song was used to mock the colonialists, but became a national favorite hymn of ours. Luther was struggling for a name for his church because he didn't want it to be Lutherans. he should have stuck with the Ubiquitarians. Because no one knows what a Lutheran is. But everyone could understand what a Ubiquitarian is. They're the ones that see God everywhere. And then, along with our Episcopalian friends, we would have the pleasure of knowing that no one could ever spell our name. And yes, I know the Evangelical Ubiquitarian Church of America is a long, long term. And there would be confusion between the Episcopalians, the Ubiquitarians, and the Pescatarians. But nonetheless, it would proclaim in a way that the name Lutheran cannot what we truly believe, that God is everywhere. And if God is everywhere, then Christ is everywhere. Everywhere, even in suffering. And when we go through times of suffering and despair and we say, where is God in this? We say, God in Christ Jesus is right there. Just look at the cross. God is not, Christ is not far away in a throne room in the comfort of heaven. Christ is in you in the suffering, in you amidst the pain, in the one in pain. That is what it means to be a Ubiquitarian, but that is what it means to be a Lutheran. We seek Christ everywhere. And so, friends, as our Ephesians text said, God is all in all. You don't get much more all than that statement. And we're reading a book this week or this month, and I invite you all for discussions either Tuesday or Thursday, called The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr. And his contention in that book is the proof that you are a Christian is that you can see Christ everywhere. And that, my friends, is the mystery of ascension. We have to understand the paradox here, as all things in the spiritual life are a paradox. This word ascension means to go up. You know, I Googled how to do a children's sermon about ascension. They had things like a helium balloon going up. And so we want to imagine Christ going up. But the way to understand it is that Christ is actually coming down into all things. And ascension is this mystery of how Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, this one person at this one particular time in history, becomes the universal Christ present everywhere. How one man's death and suffering on the cross and resurrection becomes the new universal principle of resurrected life in all things. And so it's not that Christ is going up out of sight into heaven. It is that Christ is coming down into all things. And so when we come to this table, we say, yes, Christ is right here in bread and wine. His body is giving for us. So that, and Christ says this in our gospel, you may be a witness. And a witness is someone who sees. A witness is someone who sees the presence of Christ here at this table, but then understands that that meaning of this table is that Christ's presence is everywhere. That we take that presence with us, this heaven and earth moment, and get the vision to witness this miracle in all things. And then secondly, friends, A witness is no good if they say nothing. A witness is only good as if they talk about it. So you are to witness this miracle that Christ is everywhere. And then go tell people about that through words and deeds. Because if everything is sacred, then everything requires your sacred love. And when the world sees that sacred love towards them, that is the opening to tell them the story. So friends, we come every Sunday to this table. Heaven and earth meet in us. To go out in the world to bear witness to the truth. Amen.
Amen.
God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of empowerment, you have blessed the church with art, poetry, and music. Inspire leaders and congregations to seek more ways to be your creative hands and feet on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of abundance, your love can be seen in each plant, each creature, and every landscape. Nurture crops as they develop. Protect new animal life. Restore habitats destroyed by natural disaster or human neglect. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the nations, you are enthroned above all. Bring an end to divisions that break down the human family. Enable cooperation between governments and international organizations to pursue peace and equity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of compassion, you console all who are hurting. Help us recognize the deep hurts of grief, loneliness, broken relationships, and trauma in our midst. Guide us in caring for one another, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, the family of Scott Wilson, Dean Ricardo, Charles, Sherry, victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for these people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of change, you promised to be with your disciples as they faced an unknown future. Amid graduations and other transitions, sustain your people with your presence and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, we give you thanks for the lives and examples of our beloved siblings in Christ. Nourish and deepen our shared faith in your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. I invite us to come back and please stand for our offering hymn. Gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again. Breathe your life into us and enliven us with this meal that we may live as your risen body in the world.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as the Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God, the meal of God for all the people. And you are all invited to come forward at this table. When the usher will come and you come forward, we ask that you fill in our communion rails from right to left. And you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever posture is best for you. Only to extend your hand out and in the bread will be given to you. And then when the wine is passed around, you reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. No, whoever comes forward will receive, for this is the table of God for all the people. And then also, this is our last Sunday of the month, and is our tradition. We will have Deaconess Sabina in the back with holy oil to anoint and pray for healing and wholeness for all who come. So come forward for the meal. Go in the back by our baptismal font if you want prayers. Figure out the order if you want to do that. But all are invited to come. Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen.
Friends, we pause briefly now for some announcements, and I have a ton of them, so I'll try to be quick. But as you will be notified in the newsletter coming out June 5th, we have a special opportunity to help host the Fuller Bike Adventure as they are riding down from Washington to Southern California to raise money for the homeless. They'll be stopping here on the 5th to stay overnight downstairs in cots as they bicycle down, and that also gives us an opportunity to feed them a meal. So we're going to get our barbecue out, and we are going to invite whoever wants to come and join in that fellowship with them to bring a side dish, and it'll also be a warm-up for our summer barbecue series, so we get an extra one this year. So just mark that on your table, on your calendar, the 5th barbecue downstairs with a group raising some good hard cash for our homeless friends.
What time?
Probably about 5. We're still in debate. That's a good question. So next week, lots going on. We got book club Tuesday, Wednesday, beach walk on Thursday at 11, so just come to the church at 11, and we'll go to the beach and enjoy some time walking. Then Friday, I will be out of the office with some other members up in the Synod Convention in Portland, so Pete will be leading us next week, so come bring your rotten apples to throw at Pete. No. Pete does a wonderful job. We love Pete. He even loves when we make fun of him. But Pete will be leading us next Sunday, and he's going to do a great job. But pray for us in Portland. We're re-electing a new bishop and doing all the synod things. So we would need your prayers. And then friends, if you are on council, you're not free to leave after service. Or if you leave, you have to come back because council is at noon. And then finally, we have some community events with community partners going on next week down in Yahat. See the bulletins out front for the events going on. And with all that, let us pause for the blessing. Let us pray. May the triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn now and always.
Amen. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. In Christ you are made new. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.